If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to open up to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles in the back. You can raise your hand and we'll get you one. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground. He also said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring up the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with you. And this will be the sign that to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people of Egypt out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Let me stop right there. I want to address a topic from these verses and from the next chapter on God confidence as opposed to self confidence. God confidence, not self-confidence. Self-confidence, of course, we hear a lot about, and it's something that we are taught by the world to have self-confidence, you know. You need to have self-confidence, you know. And we are drawn to self-confident people. It's the reason why we vote for certain politicians, because they have self-confidence. Or certain leaders we follow because they have self-confidence. They are confident that they know which way to go, and so we follow them, right? Self-confidence is what we are, you know, what's instilled. Have some self-confidence. Right? And I want to, from a Christian's perspective, give you a little tweak. God is not into self-confidence. He does not want you to have self-confidence. He wants you to have God confidence. And there's a difference. There's a big difference. Moses is, of course, visited by God in this burning bush. You guys know the story. You've seen the movies. It's a wonderful sight. This bush is on fire, yet it's not burning up. Of course, God does that to get his attention. And Moses, of course, is now, he has fled from Egypt. He used to live in Egypt. He was brought up in Egypt. His name, Moses, is Moshe, means to draw out of the water. The Egyptians, of course, have enslaved the people of Israel. God had told Abraham way back in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, he says, Abraham, your people will be enslaved for 400 years in a different land, Egypt, but I am going to bring them out. Now it's that time. And Moses having been brought up in Pharaoh's household, because Pharaoh's daughter ignored her dad's orders to kill the Hebrew children, raised up Moses, and now Moses, of course, flees after he had killed somebody. Now Moses is tending sheep. He's a shepherd. He's with the flock. He's on the backside of the mountain, and God visits him, and God says, I have heard the cry of my people. It's come up to my ears. I've heard it, and I have come down, he says, surely, verse 7, I have seen the affliction of my people, and I am here to deliver them. God says, I am here to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to the land that is good and flowing with milk and honey. I am here to deliver them. Then he says, Moses, I want you to deliver them. And Moses says, who am I? Who am I? Self-confidence, of course, is something that we're taught, and it's something that, personally, I have always struggled with. Now, don't feel sorry for me. Don't feel sorry for me. Because there's a pattern in Scripture of God picking not self-confident people, but selfless confident people. He picks the self-confident, and he humbles them just the same way as he humbles the lacking confidence. Either way, both have to learn God confidence. God confidence. Now, why would Moses, of course, who am I? Who am I? You're a good question, Moses. Who are you that you should go to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and demand the release of these slaves, perhaps a million slaves, who are doing a lot of work for Egypt and producing a lot of bricks and building a lot of forts? Hey, who am I, right? That's not a lack of confidence. That's actually an honest answer, isn't it, right? Who are you? See, the problem with self-confidence is it gets away of God confidence, because self-confidence looks to self, God confidence looks to God. So I've struggled with self-confidence issues my whole life. I remember I was in fifth grade. I went to visit my dad, who is graduating from dental school. My dad's here. He's a retired dentist. I remember, Dad, when I was in fifth grade, the year I went to go visit you in Mexico City, that I was an A student. I was on the honor roll. They had a poster, you know? Posters on that thing. You know, how many guys are honor roll students? Okay. The rest of you are still here. You survived. Fifth grade honor roll means nothing, right? It means nothing, you know? And I was not, and we had to do our papers, like our English language, whatever it was, you know, assignments, and then we'd bring it up, and the teacher would grade it in front of you. So I remember I'm at the desk with my teacher, and I'm looking sheepishly, because I wasn't certain about what a difference between a verb and a noun or whatever, you know, but I got it right, but I still wasn't confident, you know, I wasn't clear, I wasn't confident. And I remember looking sheepishly, and my teacher, I still remember, she looked at me, she goes, why are you so sheepish? You know, you're on the honor roll. I was not confident. And I've struggled with lack of confidence my whole life. And I've struggled, you know, and maybe some of you have a struggle with that, you know. Maybe don't admit to it, but some people, you struggle with that because for whatever reason, you know. Maybe it's your past, you figure, hey, I've made mistakes, or maybe you stutter. Moses is like, he'll tell us later on, he stutters. Right? And maybe it's the self-doubt. Maybe it's the past. Maybe in Moses' case, he killed somebody. Who am I? I'm running away from them. And who am I? I'm just a shepherd. I got sheep and I'm going to Pharaoh. Really? Who am I? Lack of confidence. Yes. Moses. In fact, I think it's specifically the reason why God chose Moses. He chose him because of the fact he lacked confidence. Because God wants to teach you how to have God confidence, not self confidence. And so there's a subtlety there, right? Because self confidence leads you to pride, leads you to say, "Hey, I did this. Oh, I don't need anybody else. I did this," and that doesn't leave room for God. Cry, I have come down to deliver them. Thank you, God. Go do it, but I'm using you. Who am I? It's the reason why Jesus chose fishermen. tax collectors, and ex-prostitutes, and zealots. He didn't go into the seminary in Jerusalem and go to the best rabbi schools because they weren't filled. They were filled with self-confidence, and God says, I have to strip that away. Oh, he did choose somebody eventually who was full of self-confidence. His name is Paul. And Paul says, hey, listen, you want to talk about self-confidence? I'll talk to you about self-confidence. I was the top of the ladder of self-confidence, but God says, I can't use you there. Got to strip that away. God wants you and I to have self-confidence in God, God confidence. Here, my dream for us as a church, for everyone here, is that you and I would have such God confidence that we can walk into any situation and be confident in God to do what God said he would do and say, I'm going to work through you. It's not just Moses, it's Michelle, it's Pedro, it's Jack. It's God. God says, I want to work through you in the place I'm bringing you to and leading you to. My dream, my prayer, is that we would be so confident in God, so self-confident in God, God confident, we would know who we were in Jesus and who we are in God's eyes, though we realize he's the source of everything we do, but we're his representative. See, God says, I'm going to come and deliver my people out of Egypt, but I need someone to come in the flesh to do that. And it's you, Mo. And God says, I've come to deliver, but I want you to go. And Moses says, who am I? Good question. You're nobody. So that's I'm not sending you because you're somebody. And even if you're somebody great, guess what? I wouldn't be able to use that person. Because I want you to be God. I want you to be so stripped of yourself, so dependent on me, that I come through, not you. This goes contrary to the way we're taught in the world, isn't it? This is why, because a self-confident person does depend on God. Like, I got it. Why? Because a self-confident person lives to self, right? Says, hey, God, here's my resume. Let me get it out for you. Here's my resume, right? Here's what I've done. Here's what I've accomplished. Use me, because I have it. I have got the pedigree, Lord. I'm usable to you. And God says, great, I don't need that. I need something else here. I need to work in your heart to teach you dependency on me, right? See, self-confident soul looks to yourself, but the problem with looking at yourself is that yourself is not always dependable. Well, I'll try even harder. Look at my, well, at least I'm better than that next person. God says, no. That's shaky ground, and I need you to realize that when you have God confidence, you're not standing on self, you're standing on me. And I am the immovable God, he says. I am the unchanging God. I am the faithful God. I am the ever-present God, right? God confidence relies on him. When you have confidence, you're resting, relying, trusting, putting all your weight on that. So, I think I told you this before. I went rock climbing with Alyssa a couple years ago. Have you guys ever been rock climbing? Big, you know, first time there. And of course, they get you strapped up in a harness, you know, and you're, it looks easy, right? And here she goes, she gets strapped up, of course, she's smaller and lighter than me, so she's way up there. Come on, Dad, come on up, you know. I think I climbed, how tall am I? I'm 6'1", I think I climbed, and then that's it. I didn't climb very high, why? Because I didn't have confidence that strap would hold all 200 some odd pounds of me. I didn't trust it. I didn't want to put my whole weight on it. Even though everybody else around me is, hey, look at me, and just come down nice and gently, you know. I did not have confidence that would sustain me and hold me. When you have God confidence, it's, does that make sense? Me! Peter had self-confidence when he said, Jesus, I will follow you to the end, and I will never deny you. I am here. I don't, all these other turkeys will deny you, but I am with you to the end, Lord. I am confident of that. And Jesus says, man, you're going to deny me 3 times. You never knew me. What did self-confidence do for him? Let us not walk in the confidence of self. Let's walk in the constant confidence of God, the immovable rock who never changes, right? Who's always faithful. He's always good. Verse 3, good questions. Reasonable questions. God said, or Moses said to God, verse 13, "Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, hey, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they will say to me, what is his name?" Think, what's his name? What should I say to them? I love what God says. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." Now he says the sacred name, which in Hebrew is YHWH. It's the verb to be. I am who I am. I am. I exist, and I am who I am. I am who I am. Yahweh is what we pronounce the name as, the sacred name. He says, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." God furthermore said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. So I said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will pay heed to what you say. You with the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt," that's Pharaoh, "and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, so please now let us go on a 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to our Lord our God. But I know the king of Egypt will not permit you to go except under compulsion." Skip on down. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses says, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say?" Remember, Moses says, "Who am I?" Okay, I'm going to tell the Israelites your name as I am. But then what if they still don't believe me? What if they say, the Lord hasn't appeared to you? God says, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff. Throw it on the ground," verse 3. So he threw it on the ground, became a serpent. Moses fled from it, but the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand and grasp by its tail." He caught it and became a staff again, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, "Hey, furthermore, now put your hand into your bosom." So he put his hand into his bosom. When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Verse 7. Then he said, "Put your hand into your bosom again." He put his hand to the bosom again, and we took it out of his bosom. Behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they do not believe you or heed the first witness of the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. The first sign, throw the staff, turns into a snake. Second, put your hand in, it becomes leprous. They may believe those two. But if they still don't believe those two signs, then take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground. And the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. So far, God's just saying, hey, to give you more God confidence and to give you to prove who I am, first of all, my name is I Am. But if they don't believe that, take your staff, throw it on the ground, turn into a snake. They'll believe that. If they don't believe that, man, you know, perform these signs. Moses, okay, you're equipped. Now, 3 potential signs plus the name of God on your side. They give you confidence. Self-confidence, no. God confidence, yes. You know, I need one of those. Yeah, I'm at that age. Am I at that age? No, I'm not. We have not crossed that. We have not crossed that. No. I am confident of that. Then Moses said, verse 10, to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Moses is like the rest of us. "Lord, who am I? Lord, wait, you got the wrong guy. I can't even talk. I stutter. I'm slow of speech. I'm slow of vocabulary. You can't use me. I'm I'm going to be handicapped and in your way, and you can't use me. You get Moses here, doesn't he? He's lacking self-confidence because he knows his limitations. So he says, God, I can't do this. I'm not an eloquent man. You picked the wrong guy. God, I'm a shepherd, and I stutter, and I'm going to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let your people go. I don't know about you, but I trip over that myself. I look at myself, and I was like, I know my limitations. I know my struggles. I know, like, God, that must be a handicap, and you could get somebody else. You're making a mistake. How many of you guys ever done that for God, to God? I love God's response. Now, God says, who made man's mouth? No, you didn't. And who makes him mute or deaf? You do. Seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? God says, who made your mouth? Who gives you the ability to speak? What is that? That doesn't get in my way. Some of us lack God confidence because we know our limitations and we know our past, and we keep living in the past. We keep living in our limitations. We keep living in our struggles. We keep living in our fall. We keep living there, don't we, right? We say, God, my limitations must be your limitations. And so we keep going back and say, Lord, I resign because, you know, you need somebody that's not going to mess up the program here. So because we keep looking at ourselves. We're looking to self because we're trying to be self-confident before we become God-confident. And God says, no. You can't be God-confident if you have any resemblance of self-confidence. Remember, my prayer is for us as the body of Christ, as a church, is to walk in such God-confidence, and such reliance on His Holy Spirit, on His presence, on His gifting, on Him, that no matter the situation, that we know it's God who's supplying everything. That the things that we think would inhibit ourselves, we, you know, hey, God has chosen me. Can you imagine if Moses says, I better start working out. I better start training and becoming better for God, to become more equipped for God. And God says, no, I didn't pick you for that. I picked you for your availability and the fact that I want to use you. But God, I did these things in the past. How could you use me? I've made mistakes in the past. How could you use me? I trip over that. Have you guys ever tripped over that? Is this preaching anyway? I relate to Moses. I mean, here's the thing. As I think of Scripture, I think time and time and time again, God picks the people that need this than that, right? He picks Moses. He'll pick Joshua to lead his people, and he says, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. He's going to pick Gideon and Judges. Gideon, who's a scaredy cat, who's hiding out. I'm going to use you. He picks David. He picks Peter. He picks not the self-confident people, but the very people who have to be relying on God's confidence. So God says, who made your mouth? Who made a person deaf or mute or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then, go, verse 12, and I will be with your mouth. Oh, I love that. Moses says, who am I? And God says, I am. Who am I that I should go? I will be with you. I can't speak. I will be with your mouth. I don't know about you. Have you tried that before, where you try to disqualify yourself? God, I can't do this, so take me out. Can't do this. No. And God says, no, but I got covered every single area. How do I have God confidence, Lord? Well, it's not by working on your self-confidence, that's for certain. God confidence means that you're resting securely, depending on Him as your rock. God confidence is one who relies on God, the immovable, unchanging, faithful, loving God, who is not dependent on your abilities or disabilities or limitations or anything else. He has His own. He wants to use you, every single one person here, to do something great for His kingdom. The moment you start looking at yourself, you start sinking. You start questioning. You start doubting. You go down that spiral of doubt. And God says, I haven't changed. You're just over here looking at yourself. God, God says, I'm looking for people who I can indwell and work through and walk through and love through and whatever your Egypt is. Who are the people that God brings you to? You may be Moses to them. And in the flesh, you and I don't look like much. Maybe some of you guys look better. But in the flesh, that's not the matter. But here's the thing. In the spirit, God-confident person, there's an intangible that's there because it's not them, it's God. And God is looking for people all over this room. It's about time we stop living over here and we start living over here. Amen? And realize God is unchanging. He's the certain rock. He's the confidence we have. And if He says, I want to choose each one of you to go out and tell people about me, and it's not going to be because of your pedigree, it's because of my pedigree. You're just my spokesman. Just open your mouth. I'll put my words. I will be with you. Who am I? Moses says. God says, I am He. Right, you're right. Who am I? I lost my, here we go. He's messing with my... Make me self-confident here, or lack of confidence here. God confidence relies on God, the God who is immovable, unchangeable, faithful, trustworthy. Self-confidence relies on self that's movable, not dependable, can shift, can let you down. Confidence with God precedes confidence with men. God says, Moses, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to be with your mouth, so that when you go to Pharaoh, by the way, you have these great things you're going to do with the staff, but I'm going to be with you, and if you're confident that I am with you, you'll be confident with people. God confidence precedes confidence with people. God confidence. Confidence with God precedes confidence with men. Every single point. And God is not choosing you and I because of something that we have in ourselves. He's choosing you and I because He wants to choose people from which He can show and demonstrate His own power. And when self gets in the way, it doesn't glorify God. So He says, I can't handle self. I got to get you off that. Now, how do we get God confidence? First of all, it's all about where you're looking to, right? Where you're looking. You're looking to lean and rest and rely on God. That's God confidence. But the minute you start doubting yourself, you start looking to yourself and looking to yourself and doubting and wondering and analyzing, it starts going down. God confidence, it comes from knowing that God is with you. This is a simple text. It's profound, though, that God would choose a man like Moses, who didn't have a lot to offer in the flesh, who didn't have a lot to offer in our reasoning, right? He wouldn't have made it on X Factor or American Idol or some other. He wouldn't have made it on anything, right? He would have been the guy you passed by and just ignored like the rest of us. And God says, that's the woman I want to choose. Not the one who's full of himself. But the one who realizes, I need God. Every time I do something, Lord, I need your help. I need your help to be a better dad, a better husband, better pastor. I need your help just to be a decent human being. Lord, I need your help, period. I realize my own limitations, so let me rely on you, God. Moses, of course, continues. I'm just going to read verse 14. Verse 13, verse 12. Okay. Now then, go. I was lacking confidence there, so I... Now then, go, and I, that's God speaking, will be your mouth and teach you what you are to say. Now, you would think, just pause right. You would think, okay? How many of you guys played sports growing up? How many of you guys were the last to be picked? Okay. How many of you guys want to be on that team where that one player was on because you know if you were on his or her team, you guys would be winners, right? Okay. You imagine God's that player and you're on his team. Hey, we got this because we got the Lord, right? We got Michael Jordan. You guys got... But look what Moses does. Even with the Lord on his team, I am with you. Lord, please, Lord, send the message by whomever you will. Like, then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, Is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. Lord, then why didn't you pick him? He's a better speaker than I am. I didn't pick him. I picked you. God, why didn't you pick a more eloquent person, more confident person to do that job? I ask that the Lord every day. Why am I doing here, God? God says, your brother's coming out to meet you. He sees you. He'll be glad in heart. Verse 15, you are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. God makes, of course, a concession. But either way, Moses is still his man. Moses said, can you pick somebody else? God says, I'll let you bring Aaron on board, but you're still the man. I don't know about you, but self-confidence can get in the way of God confidence because self-confidence can distort your view of what God wants to do in your life. And self-confidence makes it all about you. God confidence makes it all about God. And God doesn't choose you because you're self-confident. He may choose you for whatever his reason is, but it's not because you're self-confidence. He wants you to have God confidence. God confidence comes not from asking, who am I? But who is God? God confidence comes not from asking, who am I? But who is he? That's the difference. Who am I, Lord? God says, who am I? He says, God confidence is not from leaning on who I am, but on the great I am, who he is, right? The one who is able. God is able. God is faithful. God is dependable. God is unchanging. God is our rock. God is our strength. God is our own voice. God puts the word. That's what he says to Jeremiah. I will put my words in your mouth. Lord, that's my prayer every Sunday. It's, Lord, put your words in my mouth because I don't have the words to say that would reach people's hearts, but you do. So when you find yourself doubting, say, who I am, but who he is. In whatever situation. How did Moses find the confidence of God? Of course, he understood that God was with him. God says, I am with you. He understood God's nature. I am the great I am. In fact, that's his name, his character. He is dependable. He never changes. He's always dependable, always faithful, always just, always merciful. Always I am that I am. I am what you need when you need it. I am that I am. I am who I am, he says. He understood that the Lord would be with him, and he would take some time, of course, to develop that. But the reason is that God would choose Moses, not because of self-confidence, but because to teach him God-confidence. So what gives us God-confidence? It's knowing God's presence. It's knowing God's power. It's knowing God's faithfulness, his nature, his goodness, and that he is not asking us to depend on self, but on him. And the more we depend on him, the more he comes through in the scene. It's interesting, later on in the book of Acts, Peter and John are preaching. Go to Acts chapter 4, then we'll finish up. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated men and untrained men, they were amazed, and they began recognizing them as having been with Jesus. That's the difference. Not their training, not their education. They were with Jesus. That's the difference. They relied on the power of Jesus. They relied not on self, but they relied on God. And people were amazed. It was God using them and speaking through them. And friends, I'm telling you, this is the norm of what God wants to do through each one of us, is to walk in such God confidence that people are like, where did this person get this? That's obviously God. Bingo. God showed up, right? God's here. This person knows their God. You want to be God confident? You know your God. You want to be God confident? You've been time with the Lord, been time spending with Jesus, time with him. You know your God. You know his faithfulness. You know his goodness. You know his dependability and his power. And you know it's not about you. You're just a vessel, and he gets the glory. That's God confidence. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. I want to pray for each one of us here that God would work this in our lives. Father, thank you so much for your word this morning. Thank you that though a lot of us say, who am I? You still say, I am he. That our life, let it not be dependent on who we are in and of ourselves, on our accomplishments, on our training, on our things we can contribute, Lord. Let it be the fact that we rely solely on you, God. And I pray for each person here in person and watching, Lord, that you would develop their God confidence in such a way that people would hear the voice of God in and through their lives, that they would understand who they were, who each one of us is in Jesus, who are believers in Jesus Christ, who came teaching with such authority that people were amazed and said, who is this? Who? He's the son of a carpenter. How did he get such knowledge? And he spoke with such authority because he knew who he was. He was God confident because he was God. And people were amazed at it. Let it be that we as disciples of Jesus would so rely on you and so know our God and so be dependent on our God and not look to ourselves, not to look to our inabilities, our stuttering, our lack of skill or anything else, but we would say, Lord, let it be that whatever our deficiencies are would not hinder us from realizing that you're not limited by our limitations, God. Let it be, Lord, that we know who we are in Jesus Christ, and that we know who our God is. We have spent time with our God. We have confidence in our God, that no matter what the world says, we know our God is good and faithful, and he will be with us. And you had said, Jesus, you said, I am with you even unto the end of the age. Here we go. You are still with us, Lord. And so, Lord, I ask for each person a blessing, an anointing, an empowerment, a realization of resting on God and confidence in him, that you would use each one of us in our circle of life, in our circle of influence, in our jobs, in our schooling, education, our families, that the presence of God would be known. Because you've called not just Moses, you've called each one of us into different Egypts to be a voice and to set the captives free. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for being such a wonderful God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's have some God confidence and stand up. Listen, God has got great things in store for each person here. And I keep dropping. I'm telling you this twice, third time, I'm going to have to get the chain, okay? Get the little necklace thing. I have confidence in God that he has. Moses had no idea that he would be used by God in such a way. One man or woman in the hands of God, relying on him, great things can happen. Will the Lord bless you and keep you? The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you? The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. God bless you. Lunch at our house afterwards. Fellowship, hang out. Thank you for wonderful worship. We'll see you later.